Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
I'm not someone who gets scared easily. I loved horror movies, the scarier the better. I'd watch them late at night, the house dark, silent. But no matter how tense the scenes got, I could always remind myself it was just a movie, just fiction. Real life wasn't like that. At least, that's what I used to believe. That night started like any other. It was late September, and the weather had taken a sudden turn. The air was cool, almost chilly, and a storm was rolling in, the kind that always seemed to come out of nowhere as summer slipped into fall. I was home alone, enjoying the quiet after a long day. I had the house to myself. My roommate, Sam, was out of town for the weekend, and I planned to make the most of it. The rain had just started, a soft patter against the windows that gradually grew louder, more insistent. I was in the living room, curled up on the couch with my laptop, halfway through a new game I'd been obsessing over for days. It was one of those story-driven games, the kind that pulls you in with its world and characters. I was lost in it, completely absorbed, the outside world fading away as I navigated through the game's eerie, haunted landscapes. The first flash of lightning pulled me out of the game, the sudden brightness filling the room for a split second before plunging it back into darkness. I glanced up, noticing for the first time how dark it had gotten outside. The storm had moved in fast, the wind picking up, rattling the windows. Thunder rumbled overhead, a deep, growling sound that seemed to vibrate through the walls. I hit pause on the game, feeling a sudden urge to stretch my legs. The room felt too quiet now, the sounds of the storm creeping in around the edges of my consciousness. I stood up and walked over to the window, peering out into the street. The rain was coming down in sheets, the streetlights casting distorted reflections on the wet pavement. The houses across the street were dark, the windows lifeless and empty, everyone huddled inside against the storm. I was just about to turn away when I saw him. He was standing on the sidewalk, directly across the street from my house. At first, I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me, but then another flash of lightning lit up the sky and I saw him clearly. A man in a gray hoodie, standing completely still, as if he was looking directly at me. My first thought was that he must be waiting for someone, maybe one of the neighbors. But the way he stood there, so unnervingly calm in the middle of the storm, set off alarm bells in my mind. I watched him for a moment longer, hoping he would move, give some indication that he was just a normal person caught in the rain. But he didn't move. He just stood there, staring. A cold shiver ran down my spine, and I quickly pulled the curtain closed. It was probably nothing, I told myself. Just some guy who got caught in the storm. But I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off, that there was something more to his presence than just bad timing. I tried to focus on the game again, but my concentration was broken. I kept glancing at the window, half expecting to see him standing there, staring in at me. After a few minutes, I gave up and turned the game off. The house felt too big, too empty, the silence pressing in around me. I wandered into the kitchen, thinking I might make some tea to calm my nerves. The rain was still coming down hard, the sound of it drumming against the roof filling the room. I was reaching for the kettle when the doorbell rang. The sound cut through the quiet like a knife, making me jump. I stood there for a moment, staring at the door, my heart pounding in my chest. I wasn't expecting anyone, especially not in this weather. Who could it be? The doorbell rang again, more insistent this time. I slowly made my way to the front door, my mind racing. It could be a delivery person, I thought, or maybe one of the neighbors needing something. But as I reached the door and peered through the peephole, my breath caught in my throat. It was him. The man in the hoodie was standing on my front porch, his face hidden in the shadow of the hood. But I could feel his eyes on me, could sense the intensity of his gaze even through the door. I froze, my hand hovering over the doorknob. What the hell was he doing here? How did he get from the street to my porch so quickly, so silently? My mind was a whirlwind of questions, none of which had any comforting answers. He didn't move. He just stood there, waiting. I didn't open the door. Something deep inside me told me that would be a very bad idea. Instead, I backed away, moving as quietly as I could, my heart hammering in my chest. I crept back into the living room, keeping the lights off, hoping he wouldn't see me through the windows. I could hear my own breathing, ragged and uneven, the sound almost as loud as the rain. For what felt like an eternity, I just stood there, listening, waiting. But the doorbell didn't ring again. Slowly, I began to relax, convincing myself that maybe he'd gone. Maybe it was just some weird prank or a case of mistaken identity. But then I heard it. The sound of footsteps, soft but unmistakable, moving around the side of the house. My blood ran cold. He was still here, still looking for a way in.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
I moved as quietly as I could, trying to stay calm, trying to think. The doors were locked, but there were windows all around the house, and the thought of him finding a way in, slipping through the shadows while I stood helplessly inside, was almost too much to bear. I grabbed my phone and dialed Sam's number. He didn't answer, of course. He was probably out with friends, his phone on silent. I cursed under my breath, my mind racing through my options. I could call the police, but what would I say? That some guy was standing outside my house? They wouldn't take it seriously, not unless he actually tried to break in. The footsteps stopped, and for a moment, everything was eerily silent. I held my breath, straining to hear any sign of movement. But there was nothing, just the rain, pounding relentlessly against the windows. Then, out of nowhere, there was a loud bang, a single, sharp sound that echoed through the house, making me jump out of my skin. It was coming from the back door, the one that led out to the small patio and garden. I turned and ran toward it, my heart pounding in my ears. I reached the kitchen just in time to see him, a fleeting glimpse of movement through the glass, the dark shape of the man in the hoodie pressing up against the door. His face was obscured, but I could see his hands, pale and ghostly, as they pressed against the glass, trying the handle. Panic surged through me, and without thinking, I grabbed the nearest thing, a kitchen knife, sharp and cold in my trembling hand. I held it in front of me as if it could somehow protect me from the horror outside. The door rattled as he tried to force it open, but thankfully, it was locked. I watched in frozen terror as he continued to press against the glass, his breath fogging up the window. He was close enough now that I could see his eyes, cold, dark, and utterly devoid of any emotion. For a moment, I was paralyzed, caught between the instinct to run and the need to stand my ground. Then, just as suddenly as he had appeared, he stepped back, melting into the shadows. I could barely breathe as I waited, expecting him to try another door, another window. But he didn't. He was gone. I don't know how long I stood there, clutching the knife, my body shaking with adrenaline and fear. The storm raged on outside, but the house was silent, every creak amplified by the tension that hung in the air. Finally, I managed to gather my courage and make my way to the front door. I hesitated for a moment, then slowly opened it, peering out into the storm. The porch was empty, the street beyond dark and deserted. But as I closed the door, I saw it. A small piece of paper taped to the glass at eye level. My hands were trembling as I reached for it, peeling it off with a sense of dread that settled in the pit of my stomach. The note was simple, written in neat, precise handwriting. "Have you forgotten?" The words on the note haunted me for days. I couldn't stop thinking about them, couldn't stop replaying that night over and over in my mind. The man in the hoodie, the way he had moved so silently, so deliberately. And that question, "Have you forgotten?" What the hell did it mean? I tried to go about my daily life as normally as possible, but the truth was, I was rattled. I'd never experienced anything like that before, and the fear had settled deep in my bones, gnawing at me whenever I was alone. I found myself constantly looking over my shoulder, jumping at every small noise, every creak of the floorboards. Sam noticed something was off the moment he got back. "Dude, you okay? You look like you've seen a ghost," he said, dropping his bag by the door and giving me a concerned look. I forced a laugh, trying to brush it off. "Yeah, just didn't sleep well. The storm was pretty intense," he nodded, accepting the excuse without question. But as the days went by, he started to pick up on my unease. I'd catch him watching me, his brow furrowed with concern, but he didn't press. That was one of the things I appreciated about Sam. He knew when to give me space. Then, one night, I got a call. It was late, probably close to midnight, and I was lying in bed, staring at the ceiling, unable to sleep. My phone buzzed on the nightstand, and I grabbed it, hoping it was Sam, felt who was out late again, but it wasn't Sam. The caller ID was blocked, just a series of numbers that didn't make any sense. For a moment, I considered not answering, but something compelled me to press the accept button. "Hello?" Silence. I could hear nothing but the sound of my own breathing, the steady thump of my heart in my ears. "Hello?" I tried again, my voice trembling slightly. Then I heard it, a soft, raspy whisper, barely audible over the static. "Have you forgotten?" The line went dead. I stared at the phone, my heart pounding so hard I thought it might burst out of my chest. I didn't recognize the voice, but the words were the same chilling question that had been left on the note. I didn't sleep that night. I couldn't. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw his face, that pale, emotionless face staring at me from the shadows. I tried to tell myself it was just a coincidence, just some sick joke, but I knew better. He wasn't done with me. And then I heard it, the sound of footsteps, soft and deliberate, moving through the house. My blood turned to ice. I knew those footsteps. I had heard them before. I stood up, my heart racing, every nerve in my body screaming at me to run. But where would I go? There was nowhere to hide, nowhere he couldn't find me. I grabbed the kitchen knife again, my hands trembling as I held it in front of me. The footsteps grew louder, closer, until they stopped just outside the living room door. I held my breath, every muscle in my body tense with fear. The silence was deafening, the anticipation almost unbearable. Then the door slowly creaked open, and there he was. The man in the hoodie stood in the doorway, his face obscured, but I could see his eyes. Cold, dark, and filled with something that sent a shiver down my spine. He didn't speak. He just stood there, watching me, his presence filling the room with a suffocating sense of dread. I tightened my grip on the knife, my mind racing. I had to do something, had to protect myself. But before I could move, he took a step forward, and I froze. Why are you doing this? I finally managed to whisper, my voice shaking. He tilted his head slightly, as if considering my question, then took another step forward. Have you forgotten? He whispered, his voice low and raspy, like the sound of dry leaves rustling in the wind. The word sent a jolt of terror through me, and I stumbled back, my back hitting the wall. I wanted to scream, wanted to call for help, but my throat had closed up, the words trapped in my chest. He took another step forward, and I could see his face now, pale and gaunt, his eyes sunken deep into their sockets. There was something familiar about him, something that tugged at the edges of my memory, but I couldn't place it. Please, just leave me alone, I begged, my voice barely a whisper. But he didn't stop. He just kept coming, his footsteps soft and deliberate, until he was standing right in front of me. I closed my eyes, bracing myself for whatever was about to happen, but instead of the cold touch of his hand, I heard the door slam shut. When I opened my eyes, he was gone. The room was empty, the door closed, as if he had never been there. I collapsed to the floor, the knife slipping from my fingers as I gasped for breath. My whole body was trembling, my mind racing as I tried to make sense of what had just happened. But there were no answers, no explanation that made any sense. All I knew was that the man in the hoodie was gone, and for the first time in what felt like forever, I was alone. Or so I thought. As I sat there, trying to calm my racing heart, I noticed something on the floor, just a few feet away from where I was sitting. It was another note written in the same neat, precise handwriting as before. This one said something different. You will remember. I never saw him again, but that last note couldn't be more right. It's been years since that night, and I remember it like it was just yesterday. I've always found something oddly calming about thunderstorms. There's a rhythm to them, the way the rain falls in sheets, the low rumble of thunder in the distance, the way the world seems to pause for a moment, wrapped in nature's fury. My 6-year-old son Arthur has inherited this fascination. It's become something of a tradition for us to sit together under the gazebo in our backyard and watch the storms roll in. That night in August started like any other. The storm had been predicted all week, a late summer tempest meant to break the heat wave that had kept us all sweltering for days. As soon as the first drops of rain began to patter against the windows, Arthur tugged at my sleeve, his eyes wide with excitement. Dad, can we go outside, please? I smiled at his enthusiasm. There was no denying him. Sure, buddy, let's grab some snacks and head out to the gazebo. As we walked outside, the world was already transforming. The dark clouds overhead seemed to swallow the last remnants of daylight, turning the sky into a rolling, turbulent sea of gray. The air was thick and heavy, with the kind of stillness that only comes before a big storm. We made our way to the gazebo, an old wooden structure at the back of the yard, nestled near the tree line. It was our little haven, a place where we could sit and watch the world turn chaotic while staying safely dry. We settled in, Arthur munching on a bag of chips while I leaned back on the bench, listening to the soft rustle of leaves in the wind. The first flashes of lightning streaked across the sky, illuminating the trees at the edge of our yard in stark white light. Arthur's eyes were glued to the scene, the glow of the storm reflecting in his wide eyes. "Wow, did you see that one, Dad?" he asked, his voice full of awe. "Sure did," I replied, smiling at him. "It's a big one tonight." The storm continued to grow in intensity, the rain picking up until it was a steady roar on the gazebo's roof. Thunder cracked overhead, close enough to make us both jump slightly, followed by Arthur's giggle of excitement. There was something primal about being out there in the midst of the storm, yet safe from its reach. But as the storm raged on, something made me feel strange. It was subtle at first, just a feeling at the edge of my awareness, like the prickle of cold fingers on the back of my neck. The air seemed to grow colder, and the shadows cast by the lightning grew longer, deeper. I tried to shake off the unease, chalking it up to my imagination. That's when Arthur spoke up. "Dad, look over there," he said, pointing towards the tree line at the far end of the yard. I followed his gaze, squinting through the sheets of rain. For a moment, I saw nothing but the dark silhouette of the trees swaying in the wind. But then, as the next flash of lightning lit up the yard, I saw it. a figure standing just at the edge of the woods, almost blending in with the darkness. It was a person, or at least it looked like one. They were too far away for me to make out any details, but something about the way they stood, so still, so silent, sent a chill down my spine. Probably just someone from the neighborhood, I told myself, but the words rang hollow even as I said them. Why would anyone be out there in the middle of a storm just standing in our backyard? Arthur was watching me, waiting for reassurance. I forced a smile and patted his shoulder. It's okay, buddy. Probably just someone passing by. Stay here, I'll go check it out. I grabbed the flashlight from the shelf by the door and stepped out into the storm, the rain soaking through my clothes in seconds. I made my way across the yard, the beam of the flashlight cutting through the sheets of rain. The figure was still there, standing motionless at the edge of the woods. Hey, I called out, trying to keep my voice steady. You all right? No response. The figure didn't move, didn't acknowledge me at all. I felt a knot tighten in my stomach. I was closer now, close enough to see that whoever it was, they were wearing something dark, maybe a hoodie with the hood pulled up over their head. Listen, if you're lost, I can help you. I tried again, but there was still no reaction. I took a few more steps forward, but as I did, the figure turned and disappeared into the trees, moving so quickly and silently that for a moment, I wondered if I had imagined the whole thing. The woods swallowed them up, the darkness closing in. I stood there for a moment, staring into the woods, my heart pounding. I wanted to follow, to make sure there really was someone out there, but the rational part of me knew it was a bad idea. I was already soaked to the bone, and the thought of stumbling through the woods in the dark, in the middle of a storm, didn't seem like the smartest plan. I turned back toward the house, forcing myself to walk calmly, not wanting to show Arthur how rattled I was. As I reached the gazebo, I found him sitting where I'd left him, his face pale. "Did you see him, Dad?" he asked, his voice small and frightened. "I saw someone, but they're gone now," I said, trying to sound reassuring. "Probably just someone from the neighborhood. They must have gotten lost in the storm." Arthur nodded, but he didn't look convinced. Neither was I, to be honest, but I didn't want to scare him. "Let's head inside, okay? This storm's getting worse." Arthur didn't argue. We gathered up our things and made our way back to the house, the wind howling around us. As we stepped inside, I locked the door behind us, feeling an odd sense of relief at being back in the warm, well-lit house. The storm continued to rage outside, the windows rattling in their frames, but at least we were safe, or so I thought. That night, the storm reached its peak. The rain came down in torrents, the wind howling like a living thing, shaking the house to its foundations. The power flickered a few times, casting the house in sudden darkness before the lights would buzz back to life. Arthur had gone to bed, but I could tell he was still uneasy about what we'd seen. After checking on him, I made my way to my own bedroom. I tried to shake off the lingering sense of unease, telling myself it was just the storm getting to me. But as I lay in bed, listening to the wind and the rain, sleep didn't come easily. It was sometime in the middle of the night when I heard Arthur's voice calling out for me. "Dad, Dad, come here!" I was out of bed in an instant, my heart racing. I hurried down the hallway to his room, finding him sitting up in bed, his eyes wide with fear. "What is it, Arthur? What's wrong?" I asked, kneeling beside him. "He's outside, Dad," Arthur whispered, pointing towards the window. The man from the woods. My blood ran cold. I turned slowly to look out the window, my breath catching in my throat. At first, I saw nothing but the rain-streaked glass, the trees thrashing in the wind beyond. But then, as the lightning flashed, I saw him. A figure standing just outside the window, so close I could almost make out his features. He was taller than I'd thought, with broad shoulders hunched under the weight of the storm. The hood was still up, hiding his face in shadow, but I could see his eyes. Cold, dark eyes that seemed to bore into me. I felt a surge of protectiveness and fear all at once. This wasn't just some lost stranger. Whoever this was, they had come back, and now they were right outside my son's window. "Stay here," I told Arthur, my voice shaking slightly despite my efforts to stay calm. "I'm going to take care of this." I didn't wait for a response. I grabbed the baseball bat I kept in the closet and headed outside, my heart pounding in my chest. The house felt different now, the walls closing in around me as I made my way to the back door. I threw it open and stepped out into the storm once more, the bat clenched tightly in my hands. The rain was coming down even harder now, each drop like a tiny hammer on my skin. I moved quickly, scanning the yard for any sign of the figure. For a moment, I thought he was gone. But then I saw him, standing by the corner of the house, half hidden in the shadows. He was watching me.
"Hey,"
I shouted, raising the bat.
"Get the hell out of here! Leave us alone!"
The figure didn't move. He just stood there, watching me with those dark, unblinking eyes. My pulse was racing, a mix of fear and anger churning in my gut. I took a step forward, ready to chase him off if I had to, but before I could move, he was gone. One moment he was there, the next he wasn't. I blinked, disoriented, my mind struggling to catch up. I stood there, drenched and shaking, staring at the empty spot where he had been. Part of me wanted to run after him to make sure he was really gone, but the more rational part of me knew better. This wasn't something I could handle on my own. I backed away slowly, my eyes scanning the yard for any sign of movement. When I reached the door, I turned and bolted inside, locking it behind me. My breath came in ragged gasps as I leaned against the door, the bat slipping from my hands. I went back to check on Arthur. He was still in bed, clutching his blanket, his eyes wide with fear. "It's okay, buddy," I said, trying to sound calm. "He's gone. We're safe now." But as I sat there holding my son, I couldn't shake the feeling that this wasn't over. The storm still raged outside, the wind howling through the trees, and somewhere out there in the darkness, I knew he was still watching. The storm finally passed in the early hours of the morning, leaving behind a world drenched and battered by the night's fury. I didn't sleep after that second encounter, instead staying by Arthur's side, listening for any sign of the intruder returning. But the house remained eerily silent, save for the steady drip of rainwater from the eaves. When dawn broke, I went outside again, this time armed with a sense of determination rather than fear. I needed to know if there was any trace of the man who had stalked our yard through the storm. The yard was a mess, the grass slick with mud and debris scattered everywhere. I walked the perimeter, checking the tree line and the corner of the house where I had last seen him. There were no footprints, no signs that anyone had been there. It was as if the storm had washed away all evidence of his presence. But I knew what I had seen, what Arthur had seen. It wasn't just our imaginations playing tricks on us. I called the police, explaining what had happened. They came by later that morning, taking my statement and walking the property with me. But like me, they found nothing. No signs of forced entry, no clues as to who the figure might have been or what he wanted. "It's possible it was just someone trying to find shelter from the storm," one of the officers suggested, though his tone didn't convey much conviction. "Maybe," I replied, but I didn't believe it. There was something about the way the man had appeared, the way he had watched us, that didn't fit with the idea of a lost traveler. After the police left, I spent the rest of the day feeling on edge, my nerves frayed from the lack of sleep and the lingering fear that he might return. Arthur was quiet too, staying close to me as we went about our day. I tried to keep things normal, but the unease hung over us like a shadow. That night, after Arthur was asleep, I went back outside one last time. The air was cool and still, the storm's fury replaced by an almost eerie calm. I walked the yard again, flashlight in hand, checking every corner, every shadow. But once again, there was nothing. I stood at the edge of the yard, looking out into the woods. The trees were dark and silent, their branches swaying gently in the breeze. I couldn't shake the feeling that someone, or something, was still out there, watching. As I turned to go back inside, I caught a glimpse of movement out of the corner of my eye. I whipped around, shining the flashlight into the trees, but I saw nothing. Just the darkness, stretching on and on. I stayed out there for a long time, staring into the woods, trying to convince myself that it was over, that we were safe. But deep down, I knew that wasn't true. The storm had passed, but the fear it brought with it had left its mark, a lingering sense of dread that wouldn't easily fade. I went back inside, locking the door behind me. As I lay in bed that night, I couldn't help but think of the man, standing out there in the storm, watching us. Whoever he was, wherever he had come from, I knew he was still out there, and I had a feeling he wasn't done with us yet.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free. TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
Have you ever killed a houseplant before? Don't worry, you are not alone. But what if I told you you're not destined to be a plant killer? What if I told you you could not only fill your home with gorgeous, luscious, happy, thriving plants, but live a happier life through caring for them? Hey, new plant friend, my name is Maria. I am a former plant killer turned happy plant lady and host of the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where it is my life's mission to help you grow happy plants and thrive alongside them. Because when you learn to care for plants, you really learn to slow down, connect with nature, and nurture yourself too. Each week, I share expert tips, inspiring conversations, and soulful planty wisdom to help you grow a greener, happier life. So if you're ready to turn your plant struggles into plant joy and get the green thumb you've always dreamed of, search Growing Joy with Plants wherever you listen to podcasts and hit subscribe. That's Growing Joy with Plants podcast. Let's grow some joy together.